It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions for a second time. The Bucks beat the Phoenix Suns 105-98 last night in Game 6 at the Pfizer Forum in downtown Milwaukee, and it's the first time since 1971 that the Bucks brought the title home to the city. MVP winner Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 50 points during the game last night. Here he is speaking after the team won.
Thanks a lot. I want to thank Milwaukee for believing in me. You know, thank my teammates, man. They played hard every freaking game. You know, I trusted this team. I wanted to do it here in the city. I wanted to do it with these guys. So I'm happy. I'm happy that we were able to get it done.
What is your level of excitement about the Bucks this year? Were you in the Deer District last night? What was the crowd like? Did you feel the energy of the fans? Did you practice social distancing? If you're a fan tuning in from outside of Wisconsin, how did you celebrate the win? We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Mitchell Maurer is the co-managing editor of Brew Hoop. That's SB Nation's community for fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. Mitchell, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Rick Schabowski chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. Rick, thanks for joining us again on the morning show.
Well, it's a pleasure. What a historic day. I'm glad we can share some memories of what a great evening yesterday.
Well, let's stick with that, Rick. The last time the Bucks won an NBA championship title, that was in 1971, so 50 years ago. You know, what does a win like this mean for the city of Milwaukee?
Well, it's tremendous. Just to see just for sports fans, this is the first time ever a championship was clinched in Milwaukee. When the Braves won in 57, they won it in New York. And when the Bucks did win in 1971, they won in Baltimore. So this was a home crowd, an instantaneous moment that people could celebrate, and they did very well. And downtown was just very orderly. It was the Milwaukee's police did a good job. People cooperated. It was just packed, 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 but everything was well handled.
Yeah, and Rick, I want to get back to that, talk about the Deer District in just a minute, but let's talk about the game itself. So, Mitchell, you watched the game last night. You cover this. You manage this group. What were your thoughts about last night's game?
So last night was Game 6 and was actually kind of a mirror image of Game 5, where everything was flipped, where the road team was able to kind of claw their way back after the home team went on to a big lead early. The only difference is that in Game 6 at home, the Bucks had Giannis and the other team didn't. That was really what it came down to. The fact that Giannis scored 50 is a statistical marker of just how flat-out dominant he was and how he imposed his own will on the game and got to his spots, set up his teammates for success. And Phoenix just simply didn't have an answer on the court for what Giannis was doing in terms of scoring, in terms of defending, and just in terms of the entire flow of the game. The Bucks were able to reclaim the lead in the third quarter, and they never gave it up. It was sheer force of will, and they just hung on tighter than Phoenix could try to pry it away from them.
And, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he was injured about 3 weeks ago. He hyperextended his mm-hmm. knee. There was some question about, you know, what the rest of the season would look like, not just for him, but for the Bucks. You know, now that we're on this side of it, how are we thinking about, you know, that injury and really Giannis's role on the team?
It is unfathomable that a human being could have their knee get hyperextended to that degree and somehow come back and play professional sports at this level. His nickname is Greek Freak, and it's a well-deserved nickname. When he went down against Atlanta, like that, for most fans, that was it. That wasn't just the playoffs this year. That was the entire next season. It potentially, that could have been a career-altering injury. It could have been something that would have affected the franchise for the rest of this generation of players, because the way the salary cap works and the structure of the team's payroll, like, this is it. this is the team. Giannis is the leader, and he you know, he's earned his place there. But he's the best player on the team. He's a two-time MVP. There's no way for them to, like, make any changes at that level unless they just decide to trade Giannis, which is just a terrible idea. We won't even need to get into it. But they didn't have any other cards to play. Like, this is it. This is the team. This is the team that's going to come back. And the fact that he came back and was able to deliver such a performance in the NBA Finals and the Bucks were able to win the championship, now all of a sudden they're going to be among the early favorites to repeat next year with largely the same core of group of players.
Now, Rick, I want to turn to you. We've been talking about Giannis. He's got some standout teammates. Chris Middleton is one of the first people that comes to mind. Now, you know, you've been following the Bucks for a really long time. How does this team stand out maybe compared to teams over the last, you know, 20, 30 years?
Well, the big thing is after the Bucks won the title, nobody left that Fiserv Forum. Everything took place on the court and all the interviews were done. It was really great. And what's great about this team and any lot of other teams is the love everyone has for each other on this team. It was very evident in their post-game statements, Giannis, Middleton, everybody, and Bobby Portis, boy, a fan favorite. And the big difference in this team is also that sense of really community love for not only for each other, but for the city of Milwaukee and their fans. And also having that quest, that fire. And the good thing, another thing about this team is the deep bench. People can come in and really contribute. Bobby Portis, you can go up and down that lineup that people come in. Jeff Teague, he may not play a lot yesterday, but he contributed. Everybody contributes to victories for this team. And this is really something to really watch in amazement. In this day of pro athletes, there's a lot of cooperation, a lot of love, respect for the coach, respect for their fans. And like I said again, they really love their fans here in the city of Milwaukee.
We are talking to Rick Schabowski and Mitchell Maurer. They're both longtime Milwaukee Bucks fans. Rick chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship, and Mitchell is the co-managing editor of Brew Hoop. You can call in right now with your Bucks takeaways from last night or even from the season. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, Mitchell, let's look at the season as a whole. For the entire year, was there any expectation that the Bucks would land where they are that we saw last night, or was it still up in the air earlier in the season?
I would say the expectation was that the Bucks were capable of landing where they did. But it wasn't a foregone conclusion. And you have to go beyond this past season to the 2 years that preceded it. When Mike Budenholzer took the lead role in Milwaukee, he had a very immediate change on the way the team played basketball. And they raced out 2 years ago and last year to the best record in the league, the top seed in the Eastern Conference, home court advantage, which ended up not mattering last year because of the pandemic. And this season was primed to be more of the same if they did things the same way, where they would be wildly successful in the regular season. And then when the playoffs came around, they wouldn't have the experience necessary to adjust and to adapt and to find ways to win tough games against tough competition and be disappointed at the end of it, which is what happened against Toronto 2 years ago and in Miami in the bubble last year. This season, they specifically and purposefully went out of their way to do different things to avoid playing their own style of basketball and specifically to experiment, to tinker, to try and figure out different ways of winning games, even especially because it pushed them out of their comfort zone. And so they lost a lot more in the regular season than they were expected, and that pushed them further down the standings, and it made it a harder path to actually get to the finals. They not only did they have to go through Miami in the first round, which was a tough matchup that ended up, you know, not being as tough as we feared, but still difficult. But they had to play the star-studded Brooklyn Nets in the second round, and they just barely got past them. And then it was widely expected they would have another tough matchup in the conference finals, and that's just to get to the championship round, much less actually winning the championship round. So the fact that they adjusted on purpose early on and approached the season, you know what, we're not going to just try to win as many games as possible. We're going to try to make ourselves better and make ourselves more flexible. That ended up making all the difference. If they hadn't done that, sure, maybe the chips fall a different way and they get to the finals, but I doubt that they would be as well equipped to actually win as they ended up being.
Do you think that the way that Budenholzer and the team approached it this year, you know, losing in the regular season more often probably than many teams would want, but, you know, that tinkering seems to have paid off. Do you think that that's unique to the Bucks, or do we see other teams do something similar?
I think it's something that other teams do. It's hard for me to say because I don't follow any other teams as closely as I follow the Bucks.
Fair.
But I think that teams understand that you have a very limited window with which to compete. And the Bucks are blessed to have a longer window than most because their best player is 26 years old and apparently impervious to any injury. Knock on wood as I say that. But I think the other teams recognize that they have a short window, and so they have to prepare. There's an adage that's in NBA circles that there's two different types of players, 82-game players and 16-game players. The 82 is for the regular season, and those are the guys that can get you wins, you know, night after night when the stakes are relatively low. But 16 is the number of games you need to win in the playoffs to actually seize the title, and those are the players that need to be able to perform under the highest level of pressure, under the most scrutiny against the best competition. And the fact that the Bucks actually went out of their way to deliberately prepare to be able to do that and season their own players to kind of do that, I think that is a rarity that I can't remember happening any time else in recent NBA history.
We are talking to Mitchell Maurer. He is the co-managing editor of Brew Hoop, SB Nation's community for fans of the Milwaukee Bucks, and Rick Schabowski. He chronicled the team's 1971 season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. They're with us to talk about the Bucks' win last night. And coming up, we'll talk more about what it was like being on the ground at the Deer District. And you can call in. Were you there? Did you want to be there? Call 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we're talking about last night's Buck versus Suns game. It was the sixth game in the NBA championship, and the Bucks brought it home for the first time in 50 years. They were crowned supreme last night. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a Bucks fan? Were you at the Deer District last night? What did you think of the game? We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Our guests are Rick Schabowski and Mitchell Maurer. They're both longtime Milwaukee Bucks fans. Mitchell is the co-managing editor of Brew Hoop, and Rick chronicled the team's 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. Now, Rick, from what I know, you've been a diehard fan for a long time. You have tickets, season tickets. You were in the Deer District last night. Break it down for us. What was it like being down in downtown Milwaukee? Certainly just in general, but as they won.
Well, I got there really early and it was already packed. It was mobbed all the way from Water Street west to the Pfizer Forum and all around. Just crowded, wall-to-wall people, but very orderly, very well-behaved. Now, I had tickets for the game, and I had to win, and it was a long line, long wait to get in. But what's another half hour when you waited 50 years? It was well worth the wait to get in there, and people were just, you know, talking basketball, really a frenzied crowd, just couldn't wait to get in there. And the staff at the ushers, everybody did a great job, like I said before, the police, and it was very orderly. There was a ton of people there, but everybody was respectful of that moment in history coming up.
You know, it's been a really tough year and a half. You know, crowds haven't been able to gather. Of course, there was some concern over the amount of people that were going to go. But what was it like being back in there? What was the energy like for you? What was it like just being with other fans?
It was just electric. It was deafening. People were just yelling and screaming, Bucks in six, whatever, tons of cheers. And, you know, lucky I can make this interview. I'm almost so hoarse. I mean, sure, a lot of other people are this morning. And my hands sore because even after the game, people just would slap five with everybody. And, boy, it was just electric. People honking their horns on the street on, you know, 11:15. But who cares? It was just bedlam. And, you know, well-deserved. The fans are very passionate. I think the love the Bucks show to their fans, actually the fans show it back. They're glad to have this team. And to a singular moment, really, to enjoy this championship, unreal. And then the Bucks, the fans stayed behind them. Like Mitchell noticed, it was the same kind of game where we fell behind. Boy, looks like happening. Just like the Bucks were down, but the Bucks got off, and they took a knockout punch, and they got up again, like they have through this whole season against Atlanta, the Nets, and everything. That was the resiliency of this team is really key. That's another benchmark for this team, that how they stood up to adversity. People forget Dante DiVincenzo was out also. He was an important player for this team and would have contributed. Injuries are part of the game, but the Bucks, like I said, continued to cover, to conquer adversity.
You know, WPR's Madeline Fox visited the Deer District last night to get some reaction from fans, and she spoke with Bucks fan Antoine Island last night. Here's what he had to say.
I'm excited. The city needed it. It's been a long time since we had it, and Giannis definitely needed it, especially all the work he put in.
And so, Mitchell, I'll go to you. Hearing from a local fan, I know you're from Milwaukee too. How does that resonate with you?
I think there's a certain level of validation to the Bucks winning this title, the way that they did it, because Milwaukee isn't a quote-unquote glamour market. It was something that was a very long-running topic of conversation, not just over the course of the season, but over the course of decades, about how to build a team, how to attract talented players, how to build a championship contender. And Milwaukee in NBA circles was largely an afterthought because people like on the level of LeBron James or Dwayne Wade back when he was playing or Damian Lillard or anybody who's at the absolute upper echelon of the sport, Milwaukee isn't high enough on their list of cities to go play in. With Giannis especially, he is not from Wisconsin. He's not from America. He's Greek. Was Nigerian and raised in Greece. But he is homegrown because he came to live in Milwaukee at 18 years old when the Bucks took a chance on him, and he gave the team his absolute all from day one. There's innumerable montages of him working out and practicing and lifting weights and just doing everything he had to do to improve himself, to hone his craft, to improve his own game. And we saw him I know that we got to see it following the team. We saw him grow before our very eyes. We saw him grow up from a teenager to an adult to a man. And, you know, he reached the pinnacle of his profession in Milwaukee after specifically re-signing to stay in Milwaukee. And so I think that because of that homegrown component of his journey and his story, I think that it just tastes a little bit sweeter. And he even said as much in his post-game comments to the media. Like, he could go to a super team and win a title. That's kind of taking the easy road. This is the hard way, and that's how they did it.
We're talking to Mitchell Maurer and Rick Schabowski right now. They're both longtime Milwaukee Bucks fans, and they're talking about the Bucks' win last night in Game 6, making them NBA champs. Now, Rick, one thing that Mitchell just mentioned was that it feels like Milwaukee is more on the radar now. Do you think that the team will be able to recruit more people, bigger stars, to really create a longer-lasting dynasty?
Well, it's a go-to place now for a player. Milwaukee has a really bright future ahead of it, hopefully. Giannis is very young, what he's accomplished before age 27. Middleton, they have a very good nucleus, a long-term team that can really, really stay around for a long time. And wanting to play for the Bucks is something that will happen now because they're championship caliber. They should be, like Mitchell mentioned, a favorite to repeat. And the nucleus is there. And any added pieces to this puzzle to help win games is really big. And the thing that impressed me yesterday, too, was the Bucks' defense. It was maligned during parts of the season, but they really stepped up. You can see them calling out, fighting through picks, picking up people, going for loose balls, diving. It was a lot of energy defensively, and that's something you don't see a lot in the NBA. It's more offense, but the defense of the Bucks really turned this thing around, and Coach Budenholzer does a great job, too. And you want to play for this team now because you want that ring. You want to be part of that trophy-winning team.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. There was a lot to get to. Rick Schabowski chronicled the Bucks' 1971 title season in the book From Coin Toss to Championship. Mitchell Maurer is the co-managing editor of Brew Hoop. That's SB Nation's community for fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. And they joined us to talk about the Bucks' win last night, making them champions, bringing back that title for the first time in 50 years. This is The Morning Show.